Parshas Nosoi, the parsha begins in Perek Hey. Pasuk Yud. The Torah begins over here talking about the ish es kedoshav lo yiyu. Ish ashayitin lakoyin lo yiyya. We're talking about over here giving your things, the truma of the things you have to give to the koyin. And the Torah writes an interesting pasuk of the ish es kedoshav lo yiyu. Pasuk shat. Translation, a man, his kodshim, to arte him, means it's his choice. Like they say, Tovis Hanoa Shaloi, it's his choice which kohen to pick, who they want to give it to. Do you want to give it to Meir or you want to give it to someone else? It's everybody's option of deciding. Ish is kedosh of lo yiyu. The Chofetz Chaim is medayik. That there's a gval kedvar musar being brought here in the pasuk. So the Chafetz Chaim, everything you do in this world, all your peulos, in truth, lo yisa ba'maloi mu'uma, you're not going to take anything with you. It's all very temporary. Rak in yoni kedusha. The only thing you really take with you from this temporary world is your inyanei kedusha, shekayim begufoy ba'oidei chayav, that you did while you were alive. Heima yiyu lo'i lenetzach. That's what you're going to have for all eternity. V'loika yetzahara. Now that the yetzahara tries to convince us that all the other things that we're doing, that's really your friend and your beloved. But in truth, the only thing you really have forever is ish es kedoshav lo yiyu. All the kachin, the kedusha, the kazachin that you do, your tayrim, your mitzvahs, and maisim tayvim, that's the only thing you really have. And he brings down a medrash that says a mayridika moshel. There was once a guy that had three chaverim, three types of friends. He had his like best friend. And then the second guy was like, you know, somewhat of a friend. And the third guy was just like an acquaintance, somebody knew. It came a day, and he gets a message from the king that the king wants to see him. And he couldn't imagine. He had nothing to do with the king. Who snitched on him? What's he in trouble for? Which tax evasion or whatever else he might have done wrong? And you can imagine how frightened he is to be summoned to the king. So he runs over to his best friend and he tells his best friend, could you do me a taiva? Come with me to the king. I'm being called. Obviously someone must have snitched and made up a story about me. And you could tell the king that you know who I am and what a great fine person I am. So the best friend said, I'm not getting near the palace. There's no way I'm going to the king. I'm too frightened. Who knows what he's going to see in me and what trouble I'll get into. I'm not going to the king. And the guy can't believe. He turns around. He goes back home. His best friend doesn't want to go with him. So he turns around and says, you know, I'm going to go to my second guy. Also a friend of mine. And he goes over to him. He tells him his dilemma of the problem that he's in. And the guy tells him, I don't mind, you know, escorting you all the way to the palace, but to actually go into the palace in front of the king, that much I can't do. I'll take you on the trip, I'll be your company all the way, but to go in front of the king, I'm not ready to do. So he said, I need someone to go in the king, no? And he turns around. So finally he says, you know what, let me go to my third acquaintance, the third guy. Not my best friend, but I know him. And he goes over to him and he pleads before him. He tells him his issue that he has no one to go with him. And he's crying before this acquaintance how much he needs him. And the guy says, you know something? Nothing to worry about. I'll take you right away all the way to the king. And I'll tell the king what a fine person you are. I'll be Melech Tov for you, and everything's going to be fine. And Taka Kachavo came the day we had to go to the king, and this guy escorted him, and Taka pleaded the whole case for him and told the king what a great guy he is, and he was saved. Zokta Chavetz Chaim, the muscle that the Medrash is bringing down, the Nimshol is, we all in this world, our best friend, what we consider our greatest friend, is our money. That's the most chavav to us. All your possessions, the items, all the gashmis that you have. And we don't realize there comes a day when you have to leave this temporary world, being summoned to the king, and your money doesn't even walk you even near the palace. The money leaves you right here, and you have nothing, doesn't take you along at all. Your best friend turns a blind eye to you. Your second to best friend, he says, is your bonim ukroivim, all your relatives, your children, maybe your close friends, your social life. Even all those people, they're not ready to go before the king with you. They're malavin, they can be malavin you ad hakever, until your grave. But after that, they turn around, goodbye to you, and you're on your own, presenting yourself to the king. So the only thing you have is your third level of friend, your acquaintance, which is your Torah mitzvah, that you didn't realize how close it's supposed to be with you. It's something that you do. You clock in, you clock out. Your Torah, your mitzvahs, all the ruchnius, not so important in your life, here in Olam Hazeh. And you don't realize when you get summoned to the king eventually and you have to leave this temporary world, the only one that's going to actually go with you and present you before the king is your Torah mitzvahs. And they're going to be Melech Tov on the amount that you accomplished. They're going to go ahead and tell the Rebbeinu Shloim, and that's the only thing you're actually going to have with you. And that's the message of this pasuk, Dr. Chofetz Chaim. Ish es kedoshav lo yiyu. The only thing that's loy with a vav to you that you actually have, loy you, is your kedusha. The Torah, the mitzvahs, all the davar shebe kedusha that we do in our life. Gevaldik message that the Chavetz Chaim is giving us in this pasuk. Pasuk Yud Beis, the Torah continues now to the parasha of Soita. The pasuk says, "Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem." Tell Klal Yisrael, "Ish ish ki sista ishtoi, his wife strays, umolo boy moal, and she cheats on him." And this is the whole parasha of Soita the Torah is bringing down. The Torah wrote a double lashon, ish ish, ish ish. The Medrash says, "Ma tal maloyma ish ish, lamda oischa haTorah." The Torah is teaching you, ish ish. The Torah is teaching you a lesson. Shetehe vatron b'soich beischa. A person has to be very easygoing and be mevater in your house. Nishbar yeincha, the wine bottle cracks, v'chein shmonecha, or your oils, or kishenikra ksuscha, someone's clothes rips, have a vatron, it's okay, don't worry about it, don't get all worked up on the wine, the oils, the clothes, well, be mevater, it's fine. Avolim shamata dovar ishtecha. But if when you hear something from your wife that's not proper, kum kigever, then you have to get up like a man and protect what's right. Means the gashmi is thicker things you can be a vater in. When it comes to a dava ruchni, the Torah here is saying, ish, ish. L'chein noimar ish, ish. The Torah is telling you at times your man has to be a man and stand up for the ruchnias. So Rav Moshe Sternbuch Shlita, who's ein gesund und stark, says a moiridike vort to explain this Chazal. Nira Bibiuroi, I think what Chazal, the explanation what Chazal are giving over to us here in this Pasuk. The Torah is telling us how you should run your home. Be'ez Hashem, before you know it, you're getting married and you have to know the Mahalach of how to run a home. Says the Moshe Sternbach, the Torah is telling you, Eim le'ish lahakbi b'toich b'esoi b'nyonei gashmias. When it comes to the gashmias, a man should not be makbid. You can be mevater and bend. Afilu ishto yisrashlo, even if your wife is like slacking off in taking care of all the gashmias. V'loi mola tafkida, she didn't do her whole tafkida, what she has to get done in the gashmias. Loi royi l'hofer shalom bayis v'shal kach. It's not kedai to ruin your shalom bayis if something's not perfect when it comes to the gashmias. Oh, but however, Zokar Moshe Sternbach, the Chazal are teaching us, Avalim him haleches, bein anoshim, that if she's doing something that's not proper in the world of tzniyos, and something's not right in the way she's talking or what she's doing or whatever it is, chayvosoy ligvor aleha, then your chiyuv is, your obligation, is to stand up. Limnoya ba'adol l'noikein, to stop her from acting the way she's acting. Whatever in Yoni Ruchni, as he says, that might be applicable. At that point, you do have to stand up for what's right. And Melo, that's what Chazal is teaching us here in this Pasuk. Ish, ish, a man should stand up when it's something wrong, like over here, Parsha Soita, or any Yoni Ruchni is in his home. Masha'inkin, Chazal contrasting, when it comes to the other things in your home, that you should take your nose out of all that business. Don't put your nose in the gashmias of the house. There you can be mevater and we be easy with it. Look away. And all the svarim talk about that the main nekuda of why Rachman Litzlan, many homes don't have shalom bayis, is because they husbands or wives don't realize their role of what's their responsibility. The man's responsibility is not the gashmias. He should realize his focus on the ruchnias. And in Mela, regard to the gashmias, he should be easy and he can bend, he can mevater. On the other hand, the yoni ruchni, that's where he has to stand strong. The Gemara calls it mili de alma, mili de shmaya. Mili de alma means worldly things, gashmias, that's not your department. Mili de shmaya is his department. I heard a Mayridika Maisa. There's a Rav that I know personally who's very, very big in Gittin. That's what he pretty much does. He's a big person in Gittin. So he told me over that he was once dealing with one of his Gittin, and he was dealing with a big lawyer that was presenting the case. He does legal divorces also and all that. And the lawyer was a non-Jew. He was an Iraqi war veteran. He fought in the Iraqi war. He's a real tough, strong guy. Tell me, he was like 6 feet tall. You can imagine what this muscular guy looked like. He said in a quiet moment, he shared with me, this lawyer, he said, in war experiences, the war time, he said, I was wounded, I was shot at, I saw my friends die and get killed in front of my own eyes. I went through a lot, I was in ground combat. He says, I experienced it all. He said, but you should know, in spite of all these experiences that I had, my most traumatic experiences in my life is when I hear many times a couple come in front of me and they start telling me over and they're fighting, you know, all the arguments in front of me and I hear what's going on in their home and I visualize the children that are there. He said, that in my mind is more traumatic for me and more painful than all the experience I had in war. This is what he said. What's moridic about this maisa is the responsibility that we all carry in ensuring that we're going to have Shalom Bayis. A person has to realize the achrayus he has to go ahead and do everything possible to run a happy, healthy home. And many times, it's all about just learning how to be flexible and be mevater and stop being so exact and demanding. It's all about working on the midas and becoming more refined. And that's why it's so important now when we're a bachar to work on our midas, to make sure we can get along very well with our chaverim and our friends and our roommates, because it doesn't get easier later when you're married and you have a spouse 24/7. In Pasuk Tesvav, the Pasuk says, "V'heviyo ish es ishto yelakoyin." The man brings his wife to the koyin, the soita. "V'heviyes karbono aleho," and she's bringing her carbon. And the Pasuk describes the carbon, and the Pasuk says, "V'lo yitin alav levoina," but you don't put levoina on it. Zok Rashi. Lo yitin alav levoina, shehimois nikros levoina. The imois are called levoina. Shenema, and he quotes a pasuk Yashir Ashirim, how we describe the imois as levoina. And therefore, we can't put levoina on your carbon, this saita, who's choshed to be mezana, because he pirsha midarcheyem. She's separated from their ways. So the Bali Musar Medayik, this is Mamash Apella. We're talking about a Saita, an Isha, that's doing the lowest of the low. She's chashud to be mezana with strange men. And our taina on her is that we can't put Levina because she was pirsha from the ways of the Emois. What does the Emois have to do with her? It's a whole world apart, the level of Emois we're on, and her. It's not the Madrega, the Taina about her. The Taina on her is simple, just being a faithful wife. Not that she's separated from the Emois HaKadoshis. Explain the Bali Musar that we're making a big mistake. In our minds, we think that when we are, let's say, on a Madrega Katana, let's say we fall to a low madrega. We think the tefillah of the Rabbeinu Shlom is going to be according to our madrega of who we are. I don't feel like I'm going to be teveya. Rabbeinu Shlom is not going to be teveya for me. Great things. If I'm on a lower madrega, I fell and I'm who I am today. So the Rabbeinu Shlom is going to be teveya me for the bare minimum of what I have to keep. But why did I even finish Shas? He's not going to ask me. That's not my Madrega now. I'm fighting just to stay on the Derech. So what about what Shas have to do with me? Says the Bali Musa, we see from this Chazal that you're wrong. It's not true. It doesn't work like that. But rather, Mehatoyra Royan, from this Pasuk of the Torah, we see Loi Kain. It doesn't work like that. But even a person, Ha'odom, that's matzovi haruchni achi pachas, you can be in the lowest madrega in yeruchnius, chas v'shalom, but when it comes to the yoyim hadin, the Rebbeinu Shel Tovei you, then why aren't you living up to the Avos HaKadoshim? This girl who's a saita, why are you not being like the emois? The yoyim hadin doesn't work that we just look at you who you are, but rather, all these great hasagas are also part of what we expect. Because every yid has a neshama and he has infinite koyach to reach to infinite heights. And meila, all these gevaldik madregas are also something that would tevea from the yid. And that's why the Torah has a right to say, we don't put levoina, because she strayed away from the maisa imois, imois representing levoina. And we expect of her to be like the imois. So Rivka Rachel Leah. Perek Vav. The parasha continues now with the parasha of Nazir. Pasuk Beis. Darbel b'nei Yisroel v'amarta aleihem. Ish o yisha ki yafli lindo neder nozil hazil Hashem. Person goes ahead. Yafli linda neder literally means you express your promise to become a nazir. Devin Ezra is bothered. What's this language, kiyafli, that you express linda neder nazir lahazir? Why are we using that lashon of yafli? That you're making your neder, we say you express it with a lashon of yafli. So up to Evan Ezra, the Torah is coming to tell me, this person that's becoming a Nazir, Yaseh Dovar Pella. Yafli means he's doing a Dovar Pella. We're hinting here that you're doing something wondrous. Ki Roiv Ha'olam Holchem Achar Tavosam. Most of the world follows their desires. And here you are, separating yourself from wine, and separating from your desires. You're doing a wonder, you're doing a pella, kiyafli. So Biruchim Zatzal asks, but what's the Torah's message? Very nice. The Torah is telling you that's what you're doing. Lamaisa, he's doing that. He's becoming a Nazir. What's the Torah want in describing his Naziris that he's doing a pella? What's the Torah want from that? We have a person here that's becoming a Nazir. So that's what he's doing. He's becoming a Nazir. What's the message that Torah wanted to tell you about the Pella? Zok Rabbi Yeruchim, if you ever ask somebody, why are you following your desire? A guy, let's say, smokes. A guy vapes. A guy's a drinker. Whatever the guy's doing, he's someone who's a little too far following his tithes. If you ask him, why are you following your desires, just doing what you want, he'll tell you, because I decided I want to drink, I want to smoke. If I want to stop, I could stop. That's what he'll tell you. If I want to stop, I could stop. I'm just interested now in smoking. I'm just smoking for another 2 years till I start Shidduchim. That's what he'll tell you. I'm just drinking now, you know, whatever the tithes are. It's just for now. If I want to stop, I have the ability. But right now, I'm interested in continuing. That's the nature of a person's mind, how he thinks. Zok Rabbi Yeruchim, it's 100% not true. The guy thinks if he wants to do the opposite, he could. And it's not true. The reality is, he's a slave, Zok Rabbi Yeruchim, to his taivas. He's meshubit to his taivas. And if he wants to do different, it's going to be a pella. It'll be something wondrous and incredible if he can rip away and do something different. Because naturally, which every person lives naturally until you work on yourself, he can't do otherwise. In his mind, he thinks he's deciding, I just want to drink now, but if I want, I can stop. It's not even true. And that's what the Torah is telling you here, that if this nazir got up, and he's able to do this yafli, this pella of deciding to separate from wine, the Torah is teaching you this message, how wondrous the act that he's doing. I once saw, in 1928, Rav Baruch Ber Zatzal came to America to raise money for his yeshiva. So, while he was spending time in America raising money, they wanted him to meet, to give a little boost to Jewish causes, they wanted him to meet the mayor of New York City, Mayor Jimmy Walker. So he had a meeting with the mayor in order that, give some boost to all the Jewish causes and everything. They had a meeting, and after the meeting was over, someone was privately with the mayor, and the mayor said over to this guy, Rabbi Leibowitz disproves Darwin's theory of evolution. Only God could create such a person. which means he saw in Rabbi Baruch Ber such refinement, a person that's so in control, someone that's so not natural, someone that lives his life kulay pella, totally wondrous. Everything he did was calculated, nothing just going with his natural desire. He saw such a wondrous individual, he says, this disproves Darwin's theory of evolution. Unbelievable. So just to understand the pella that the pasuk's talking about here, kiafli, when a person makes a nizirus and does different than his nature, it's taka wondrous. It's an incredible act. The pasuk Yud Dalad. The pasuk says, sorry, pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk right before that. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'zois Toiras Hanazir. This is the Toiras Hanazir. B'yoyim Melois Yimei Nizroi. When he finishes off his Nazirus, Yovi Oisel Pesach Olam Moyed. He brings it to the Pesach Olam Moyed, and it describes Vikras Karbon El Hashem. Describe exactly the carbon that he has to bring. All different carbonus. And one of the things he has to bring is a kavso achas. One keves lechatos. So the Rishonim are bothered. This nazir is bringing a carbon chatos. Chatos, chatos, chatoim. What's the pshat is korban chatos? Ramban bavorns the question. Hatam hachatos loynis parish. It's not really being explained. Why are you bringing a chatos? Rabbi Bechaya says, loy matzinu b'kol ha-toyra kula. You don't find anywhere in the Torah korban that you're going to bring like this chatos. If you did an aveira, you bring a chatos. Here he did a mitzvah. Kol yumei nizirusay kadosh. Uparush metayvas ha'ilam. He separated from the desires of this world. Techayivenu toyer la'avi karbon. He's getting mechuyev to go bring this chatos. Ze'engen niflo mechudosh. Something brand new that we never find. What's the pshat? So the Ramban says, "Al derech hapshat." Maybe al derech hapshat. What we could say is, "Ki ha'ish hazeh choyte nafshoy b'mlois hanazirus." He did a avera at the end of his nazirus. Ki hu atom nozar mikdushasoy va'avoydes Hashem. Until now, he's living a very high level of the zeros of kedusha and avodas Hashem, v'roy ha'yaloi liz shizal olam. He should really stay like this forever. V'yamid kol yomav. His whole life it should be this kadosh lalekav. V'hine, now that he's going ahead and going back to regular, hu tzarech kapara b'shuvoi li tomei b'tayves ha'olam. He needs a kapara and brings a chatos. Because he's returning li tome to become tome with the taivas ha'olam. As I said to Ramban, he's returning and betam himself with the taivas of this world. This mamash apella. We're talking about a person here who was a tzaddik, like we saw before, ish kiyafli. He did a pella, and he was living as a nazir. And now he's going back to olam hazeh and living regular. He's going to live regular as a tzaddik. He's not doing any real averus. And yet the Ramban is telling us that you're living the tumah of taivas olam hazeh. Unbelievable. What does this mean? So I want to read to you. I once saw an interview that they had with the Shiva Bitzchak Sirotskin Shlita. They interviewed him and they quoted what he said about the different questions they asked him. And it was very, very enlightening to hear from one of our Gedolim. They asked him like this. We live in a country that's incorporated in its Declaration of Independence man's inalienable rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. How does society's view of liberty compare to the Torah's concept of chayus? America stands for liberty too, freedom. How is it different than the Torah's concept of chayus, of freedom? Zokovitsa Sirotskin, it is actually the exact opposite. To us, chayus means that a person's in control of himself. Freedom means controlling yourself. While the American definition of freedom, living free, is actually slavery. Slavery to one's tivus. They say liberty and the pursuit of happiness because they define freedom as a person's right to do what he wants, to pursue a life of pleasure. In reality, this freedom does not lead to happiness. I once heard about a survey which reported that America is the unhappiest nation in the entire world. Obviously, it's because they have it all wrong. Rabbi Chanan writes that taivas are like a bribe, which blinds a person from acting with seichel. In today's liberal society, we see so much krumkeit. When a person's goal is all about self-gratification, he abandons all seichel and pursues pleasures like an animal without any gevulim, and the result is unhappiness. A person, the Torah teaches, is a neshama. He's not a guf. And if he tries to satiate his body while neglecting his soul, his true desires will never be filled. He'll be left feeling discontent. Even if a person manages to fill some taivas, he will just want more. Mishyeshloi mana ratza masayim. Eventually, there's no new thrill to be had, and he ends up deflated and disillusioned. Wanting and having everything breeds more unhappiness. Having gevulim doesn't contradict freedom. It actually leads to freedom. It's the opposite of America's concept of not having boundaries. Even in America, it wasn't always so extreme. Years ago, there was respect for authority in America. Rav Gifter used to say over that when he attended public school, if a student said an unclean word, the teacher would wash his mouth out with soap. And an unruly student would be punished physically. People understood the concept of authority. This changed, I believe, in the 1960s. As a result of the moral decay of society, the result is a false concept of freedom. When a person has no control, he feels no fulfillment. And that leads to America being the unhappiest country in the world. I once asked a group of Russian workers if they are happier here than they were in the native land under Soviet rule. They replied that in Russia they were happier. In Russia they were forced to live at the bare minimum without expecting more. This actually breeds happiness. The less you have, the less you expect. And the more you have, the more you expect. And then the worse off you are. Our definition of chayrus, Ein lecha ben chayrim ela misha oisik betayra, means we have obligations, and fulfilling those shibudim fills us with a sense of accomplishment. It gives us happiness. When a person follows his neshama, he's achieving true inner desire and real chayrus. Your taivas are not you, and if you follow them, you are enslaved. I think this interview very much explains us this Ramban, that's why he's bringing a karban chatas. At the end of the day, if he's going to live now free to joining again the tumah of taivas ha'olam, and he has no restrictions, he's not living with his aziris anymore, this, says the Ramban, says the Torah, needs a kapara. And that's the chatas that he's bringing. In Pasuk Chof Gimel, the Torah begins over here, bringing down Birches Koyanim. Daber al Aaron al Bon of Leimar, Koy Sivorchu as Bnei Yisrael Emor Lohem. So you should bench Klal Yisrael, say to them, Yivrech Hashem Yishmerech, all the Pesukim. The Medrash is oimid on this lashon of koi. Koi sivorku as Bnei Yisrael. So you should bench Klal Yisrael. What's the koi? Why did Torah have to say it like that? Just tell him straight to do it. What's koi sivorku? Zok the Medrash. Neheichon zochu Yisrael o birchas kayanim. Where was Klal Yisrael zoicha to get birchas kayanim? This gewaltig schus that we have, Reb Nechemya Oimer mi Yitzchak. It came from Yitzchak Avinu. Shenema, the pasuk says, Vani vahanar nelcho ad koi. By the Akedah it says, I, Avram, with the young Yitzchak, are going to go ad koi until here. Lefikach Omer Hamokoi, and therefore the Torah here is referencing koi sivorkos bnei Yisrael. Koi, referencing Yitzchak Avinu, that it was his chus of Akedas Yitzchak, why Klal Yisrael Zoicha, and Eretz Yisrael, it's a daily bracha that Klal Yisrael Zoicha to of getting Birchas Kayanim. So Rabbi Yom Kamenetsky Zatzal, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's oldest son, says over, Lamannu, what we learn from here is, that the Mesiris Nefesh of a Av and a Aim, a Mesiris Nefesh of a father or a mother, he amavias a bracha lebonim, that's what gives us the bracha. Like, for example, here, Avram and Yitzchak were Mesa Nefesh to go ahead and do the Akedah. And for that Mesiris Nefesh, there was a reward that for all Dairus, Klal Yisrael has. The Birchas Kayanim from that Mesiris Nefesh that they had. Now I was thinking, L'chayu Poshup Shat in this Medrash, Vaniva Nar Nelcha Ad Koi, was Avram Avinu speaking. The Medrash is saying it was Beschus Yitzchak Avinu. And yet, Vani Vanar Neucha Ad Koi was what Avram Avinu said. Not his son Yitzchak. And yet the Medrash is saying it was Beschus of Yitzchak Avinu that we have. Birchas Koyanim. What's the Pshat? So there's a Gevaldik Yisoid that's brought down from many Mepharshim that Avram Avinu's challenge in the Akedah wasn't so much like Yitzchak. Because Avram Avinu heard it straight from Hashem. So as hard as it is to sacrifice your only son that you waited 100 years for, but at the end of the day, if you have clarity that Hashem's in charge and it's his world and my whole life is yours, and Hashem says, now it's time to bring your son Yitzchak, he heard it with 100% clarity, Hashem told him. So the clear instructions allowed him to go ahead, if you want to say, and be Maisa Nefesh. It made it easier to go ahead and do it. On the other hand, Yitzchak Avinu didn't hear it from the Rabbeinu Shlomo. Yitzchak Avinu heard that his father told him one day that Hashem told me that it's time to bring you as a carbon. So it took a lot more emunas chachamim, trust of his father and everything, to just go blindly and allow himself to be shechted on the Akedah. So in Eila, although this pasuk vaniva nar nelcha at koi was Avram describing going to the Akedah, but specifically the Torah here is telling us it was a schus from the Chemya Omar Mir Yitzchak. It was Yitzchak Tavinu's schus that we got Birchas Koyanim, because Yitzchak Avinu Taka had a whole different level of Mesiras Nefesh of allowing himself. It's called Akedas Yitzchak after all, because he allowed himself to be brought on the Akedah, which that, with complete trust, he went ahead and did it. He didn't hear it from Hashem. It was Taka a whole different level of Mesiras Nefesh, and that's what got us Birchas Koyanim. Just end off, I don't think we have time for another vart, just end off, that we should all know that when we come to Matzavim of Mesiras Nefesh, at times when things are hard, and we have to be Mesiras Nefesh to accomplish Torah, mitzvahs, anything in life, we have to think to ourselves, imagine Yitzchak Avinu walking in the desert, if he would have known when he was being Moisa Nefesh and going with his father, Ad Koy, to go on Mesiras Nefesh onto Akedah, if he would have known that L'doiri Doiris, all of Klal Yisrael, L'zoicha, to Birchas Koyanim because of him, it would have made it that much easier. He would see the whole future of his act that he's doing, and that would just empower him to go do it. So we have to know in our lives that we face hardships and difficulties and challenge in our Torah, mitzvahs, and avodah, and we have to meis and nefesh to step up and do something, we have to use a little bit of a koyach hatzir, of imagination, to visualize that, you know something? As hard as it is for me, if I go ahead and do this, l'doyrei doyrus, my mesiras nefesh showers bracha down to my mishpacha and to God's klal Yisrael for what I accomplish. And that empowers a person to go ahead, although things at times are hard, but that's the secret of success in Mesiras Nefesh. That if you realize what is involved in what you're getting done, how L'dayri Dayris is going to be results from it, that gives you a gewaldic power to go through. Everybody should have a wonderful Shabbos.